Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Usually CBS Sports Network, but we had the March Madness bracket breakdown on the tube on CBS Sports Network. So if you want to just hang with us here for the next 2 hours, and I certainly hope that you do, go to your local affiliate. If you can't find that, if you're hitting the road, if you're traveling, Sirius XM, Sirius Channel 213, XM 201, Facebook, Twitter, every single social media outpost, by all means, you could follow the show that way. The trivia question, you know, I haven't voted on this yet here. And I already know, and I usually don't, I don't factor in what kind of reaction I will get from my vote, because I really don't care. But I don't know if I feel like dealing with this today. The poll question, you tell me what I should do.
Okay, go ahead.
Poll questions is, Pats lose Amendola, Solder, Butler, Lewis, et cetera. Brady turning 41, Gronk considering retirement, even though I hear you, but... You got to spice up the question
just,
a little
bit. Of course, but I'm just saying, it's just a lot going on.
That's, oh, I thought you said he's not.
No. I said that's a lot.
I got you. And the question is the Pats dynasty over? Very simple. Yes, it's finally over. No, Brady's got more left. In my football heart, I believe it's over because I believe the Jaguars let him off the hook and everything we touched on yesterday. Yep. It's well documented.
But you put it all on Brady. At least the question puts it all on Brady.
That's true, which gives it a little tougher slant.
Yes, exactly.
But if I click yes, it's finally over, I will just get besieged and bombarded with you're a loser Jet fan.
Yep.
You just finally want to be relevant. And that's probably true.
Yeah. Are you wishing this is going to happen?
Yes.
Or do you think this is going to happen?
Bingo.
It's two different things.
They're dealing with that. So I will refrain from voting. I will just retweet.
Yeah, retweet.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to say no. Because it's less about Brady to me. It's more, are the Jets ready? Are the Bills ready?
Well, the Jets aren't ready.
Of course. No. Are the Bills ready? They don't have a quarterback right now.
Mm-hmm. They will.
I know they will.
They will.
We'll see who it is.
Maybe it has a Deshaun Watson effect.
Maybe.
I mean, you never know.
But are any of those guys Deshaun Watson effect?
Why not?
Winners like that? Deshaun Watson.
No.
Yeah.
Winners, no.
And so.
Well, Mayfield's a winner.
Mayfield is a winner.
Mayfield's a winner.
The only one I like is Mayfield.
I like him.
Dude, because he's cool.
I like him.
You could sit in a room with him and feel like, man, this dude has command of himself.
I like him.
Yeah, and then the last one is obviously the Miami Dolphins. And I think Ryan Tannehill's going to be okay, but I don't know if Ryan Tannehill's
going to be the quarterback, the answer is whether or not the Dolphins are ready to contest or challenge the Pats. Hey, the answer is no.
Yeah, BT, this is the year for Tannehill, by the way. By the way, the Miami Dolphins just released Ndamukong Suh, which is something we knew was going to happen. 6 years, $114 million deal, 60 of which if it's guaranteed. He is officially off the books and free to take his wares elsewhere.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill, the dead money number that we always talk about, it drops significantly this year. So we talked about it going into last season. This was a make it or break it year for him. $24 million dead money, $20 million cap hit. This year the cap hit is still large at $19.5 million, almost $20 million, but $17.5 million of that is salary. So if they cut him, there's only about $4 million of dead money for Ryan Tannehill. So they have a decision to make on Ryan Tannehill. We talked about this whole AJ McCarron. Where's AJ McCarron gonna land? Buffalo is really the only spot that has a need. But I, with you, agree they're going to...
Or Arizona once Bradford gets hurt.
Exactly.
Like, every time I have to insert
You have to throw that caveat in because it's a necessary one. It's
yep.
a true one. We've seen it way too many times.
Every year.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you again.
Yep.
Fool me third time.
That game's over. He'll be hurt, unfortunately for him.
But Miami could also be a spot because... Yeah, I don't know if I'm not buying Ryan Tannehill right now. Coming off an injury, been average.
Why would you?
And making 19, you know, whatever, cap hit 19, but $17.5 million a year, I probably would go a different route if I'm Miami. And does that make them viable or make them in this conversation to best the Pats? Probably not. New quarterback in a new system. Hopefully Adam Gase, you know, gets that team under control. But none of the other teams. So to me, I'm saying no, that the Pats aren't done because nobody in the division is going to challenge them. Not in 2018. Maybe 2019, but not in 2018.
There's a lot of context for that question.
Yeah.
That's hard to really squeeze it into a yes or a no.
You're right.
I'm going to pay Tannehill a little compliment here.
Go ahead. I like him. Yeah. I just don't know if I'd love him as a quarterback.
Well, you like him as a person?
Yes. I mean, yes. Okay, so that's what I mean.
He's a nice guy.
That's what I mean. And that's part of it.
He seems like a nice guy.
That's part of it. Some guys can be an ass. And
that's
it's like,
true, I guess. No,
do I want that guy to be the leader of my team? Hell no. I don't care if he's amazing.
No, I'm with you. He's a good guy. That's true. I was just really thinking solely in football terms.
But
he is a good guy. And I'm going to give him a football compliment, though. Part of it's laced as a statement. Part of it is laced as a question.
Go ahead.
I look at Ryan Tannehill and I look at his career arc, and there's nothing glaringly bad about it. There's really nothing glaringly bad.
That's a very good point.
Okay.
It's not like he led the league in interceptions.
Like Josh Freeman, yep. Like a second year right. where he was great, then he was atrocious.
Had like a 38% completion percent. Nothing like crazy
didn't
like that.
Didn't turn into Geno Smith and get popped by a teammate and, you know, complete fewer than 58%, whatever it was, 50 of his passes. He was never viewed as unsalvageable, and not even close to that, to be fair. Matter of fact, up until he got hurt, he was always viewed still as an ascending player.
Yeah.
At what rate? Debatable. At what's his ultimate ceiling? Debatable. But here's the compliment now, / question. Why can't he be Alex Smith or Rich Gannon?
Oh, he can. He can.
Why not?
He can, but I don't know.
Not there though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
He's got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of the system that Adam Gase is running, and it just doesn't seem to fit him. Even though the last season that he played, the first season he played under Gase in 2016, his completion percentages were way up relative to his career average. His touchdown interception ratio wasn't phenomenal, 19-12. He actually was pushing the ball downfield significantly more than he usually does. This yards per attempt number that we always talk about is 7.7, which is well above 7.0, which was his career average. So it was like he was getting better under Gase, but they weren't winning. I mean, they were very average, even though he was playing better. And the question is, if you're going to have a quarterback and you're paying him almost $20 million, is he making you better or is he just kind of keeping you the same? That becomes the question with quarterbacks.
I would encourage people, you know, go to profootballreference.com, get your hands on the database that's right in front of your laptop or your PC, whatever, and just type in Rich Gannon and just look at, you know, how transient the first part of his career was.
It's true.
And when he won the MVP with the Raiders in 2002, I want to say he was 37.
God, was he really?
D-cell, check that, Kenny. 37 or 38.
37. I just found it.
Found this. It was 37 and 02.
2002.
Yeah.
Led 37. Led the league in completions and attempts and yards.
And he was still running. He was still very mobile. I mean, Gannon's very smart. And, you know, he always had the good arm. You know, certainly better downfield than Ryan Tannehill. Probably a step quicker as well, even though Ryan's a pretty good athlete. You know, but Alex Smith was buried. You know, a lot of different coaches. We've talked about this. Singletary was there. Erickson was there. Tom Sula coached for a couple of games when somebody else was fired. Yeah. Nolan. I mean, this guy coached and played for everybody.
You're right.
And that's part of the evaluation process.
And
that's
Tannehill's
very
kind
hard.
Of had something similar.
Very well, he had, let's see. Why am I forgetting? He had Tony Sparano.
Sparano.
For a minute.
Then he had Philbin.
Philbin was a disaster.
Yeah, Philbin got canned, and so for a couple games he had Dan Campbell, my former
tight end. Buddy Campbell. Yeah. By the way, I knew that Philbin was going to be a complete zero as a head coach when I watched the first episode of Hard Knocks. I'm serious,
that's a good point.
I mean,
that's a good point.
I like, this guy has zero juice and no
presence.
Connection to this team.
Yeah, presence.
Zero.
Yeah. And then, obviously he finishes up with Gase these past couple seasons. So for a young man who's been in the league for – 5 years? No, six years. He didn't play last year. Five seasons he's played, six seasons. He's had four different coaches.
That's not a recipe for success. Yeah. Ask anybody. Here's an interesting tweet. Then I want to run something by you about hoops here. This is from Brian Melsar, @_tiltedb_. What defines a dynasty being over? All right, good. Finally somebody asking the question, because it's kind of broad terms. Losing seasons? Missing playoffs?
Yeah.
If so, it's not over. If it's not getting to the Super Bowl, I'd say it's possible. But tough to not have them as a top two team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Other AFC divisions beat each other
up. Yeah, it's a good follow question. Like, what do you mean by dynasty? Because are they getting to the postseason? Yeah, they're getting to the postseason. Because by default in the division, they're going to be there. Are they going to vie for a AFC championship? probably.
I've got my non-dynasty parameter.
Yeah.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Here's what I would say. Number one, you have to play week 18. You don't get a bye.
Yeah.
I mean, so you don't have an automatic bye, and you're not playing right away in the divisional matchup at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a start. Mm-hmm. To say that they're going to morph into a 5-11 team is just jealousy. It's hate. It's stupid.
It's unrealistic.
It's idiotic.
Yeah.
Unrealistic. Better word. It's not plausible mm-hmm. in the football sense. They've got the best coach and best quarterback in existence. But could they go 10-6? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could they have to play the first wild card weekend?
Yeah.
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 Even if they host that, do they have to go on the road the next week?
I see those years. I would concede the years of 13 and 14 win seasons. Those have faded a little bit.
That's my definition.
That they're going to have to work
yeah.
to do everything that they're doing. Not that they can't still do win a Super Bowl and do everything else, but it's going to be harder.
You know what? Watch. They'll just make it more impressive. They'll have more hurdles to hop over, and they'll still get to the Super Bowl.
Just like last year. The defense was terrible.
Yeah, but they didn't play the first weekend.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Know.
Like, I got you, though. But, I mean, if they ever had – I mean, think about it. All they have to worry about, like, around on Christmas Eve is, are we going to rest guys for week 17? That's all they have to worry about for 20 years.
I know.
Basically. Did you see the story about the USC player sitting out the NIT for the draft?
I did.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Samter,
how do you say his name?
You notice how I've avoided this.
Yeah.
I think it's Chimezie Mutu.
Metu. Chimezie Metu. Now, good player. Came back for a year. Thought about going to the NBA last year. Didn't. Came back. We all know what happened at the end of the regular season. They second in the Pac-12 as the season ends. Second in the Pac-12 tournament, which I think was surprising to a lot of people. And then ultimately, they missed out on the tournament. Some people believe, conspiracy theorists will say, it was because of punishment for the FBI scandal, which I think is nonsense, but whatever. So they have no other choice but to play in the NIT because they're not invited to the NCAA. Now, he decides, Metu, decides to sit out.
I believe so.
Yes. Decides to sit out the NIT tournament because he wants to prepare for the NBA draft and is scared of getting hurt.
Ugh, dude.
My initial thought is, it's basketball. You're not pounding against, 300-pound linemen in the trenches. You're playing basketball. If you want to half-ass it and undercut your team, and you're going to say, that's what I'm going to do and that's why I'm going to sit out, that's okay. But to protect yourself from injury, playing basketball,
it's soft. It's corny.
And I think it's going to come across as soft. It's one thing when Christian McCaffrey or Leonard Fournette say, I'm not going to play in our team's bowl game, and I'm not going to go to the Senior Bowl because there's a significant risk of injury, as there is in the NFL, especially playing running back, or in college football, I should say, playing running back. You're getting hit. You're going to play 50 plays. You're going to get on 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get hurt, and it could hurt your draft stock. Not the same thing with basketball. Bad excuse.
Yeah, it really is. It's a turnoff here. By the way, a little perspective. The draft site that I like to go to, usually go to this one first, NBADraft.net. It's been treated me pretty well over the years. It's pretty good. Although it doesn't really do a great job of the European players, but it's mm-hmm. pretty good. It's a good database. They have him at 23 right now, 23rd Lakers. Not that the team matters. So he's projected to go low 20s. I would add to what Tiki said. If he had a pre-existing injury, like if he's Michael Porter,
yeah,
and Missouri's going to the NIT, and there's really nothing tangible, I mean, yeah, NIT championship, whoopee, nobody cares. No, I mean, literally nobody cares. The only way that the NIT championship would matter to anybody is if a mid-major won it, then it would be like a real moment of pride.
Great.
And, if you're Kentucky and win the NIT, they lost to Robert Morris about 6 years ago because they were so disinterested. They didn't want to play the game. So the NIT is terrible. It's been watered down for a long, even though this year is actually more competitive because a few of this bid stealers.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean much. So the NIT is irrelevant, largely irrelevant. I think that, so if he had an injury like Porter and he's like, okay, that's one thing. But, the last time I can remember somebody truly getting hurt where, and it didn't even affect their draft status because he still went first overall, was Kenyon Martin.
That's true.
Kenyon Martin, and I have to look up the exact, I know, I'm pretty sure it was the first round of the Conference USA tournament against St. Louis. I think that was Larry Hughes' team. Remember him coming up toward the foul line and his ankle just exploded.
Yep.
still went first overall. And they were reseeded, Cincinnati was, as a result of that. That was the first time we really saw that, because even though they were basically the best team with Kenyon, without him,
yeah,
they dropped seed-wise because they had to reflect who they were without him. So it's just such a rare occurrence. I'm totally with you. It looks weak. It looks soft. It's a bad look. I would lose some. If I'm his teammate, I'd lose a little respect for him.
I would, too.
I really would, Teague.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, Ross Tucker, played in the NFL, former offensive lineman, Sirius XM NFL analyst. He's got a podcast as well. Smart guy, Ivy. We like Ross. Quarterbacks, trades, free agency. That's next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Coming up next hour, Curry's hurt. Klay Thompson got hurt. Warriors a little vulnerable here, or are they? Should they be concerned? Tiki and I'll have that conversation. Also, Major League Baseball is going to institute a couple of the wacky rules to try to accelerate pace, and the experimental laboratory is going to be the minors. Certainly seems unconventional, but are they on to something? Tiki and I'll get into that as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, we're joined now by Ross Tucker, and we like Ross. We've always liked him. Haven't had him on in a while. But it's obviously football season with everything happening. So let's get him back up from SiriusXM, NFL analyst. He's got his own podcast as well. Played in the NFL. Ross, Tiki, and Tierney. How you been there, buddy? What's happening?
I'm doing great. The new league year just started 20 minutes ago. It'll be interesting to see if any of these guys sign contracts. I know nothing's happened over the last 48 yeah. hours or anything.
It's been very quiet. The sport's dead, Ross. I got to tell you, it's a complete bore. Let's talk MLS instead.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Ross, though, because we've been acting like these deals have been done and signed, but they couldn't have done it until 24 minutes ago. You're absolutely right.
Well, and honestly, I really don't like stupid things, and this whole negotiating period or tampering period.
Legal tampering.
I mean, what,
legal tampering, Ross. Get it right. Legal tampering.
Exactly.
What the hell is that?
There's no point to it, Tiki. But what, I have no idea. I think what they were trying to accomplish is like a college football style signing day thing all these deals would be agreed to the last 2 days, and then from 4 o'clock till 11 o'clock tonight, they'd have a great like signing day special, and I think someone got a good idea or thought they had a good idea and didn't realize that all these deals would be leaked and that it would be highly anticlimactic. I mean, they need to just get rid of it. And I know Frank Gore did it a few years ago, but to me, what's going to happen is there's going to be a really high profile Josh McDaniels reneging at some point, and then they're going to change the rule like they're doing for the coaches and realize, this is dumb. They're already agreeing to deals. Let's just let them sign it. That's what they're going to do anyway.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. A lot of offensive line movement going on in this legal tampering period, Ross. The biggest one, I think, is Joe Thomas retiring. Two things. One, what impact will that have on the Browns? Because he was one of the only vets. And then two, is this kind of an indication that he doesn't buy into what they're actually doing? Because it doesn't seem like he's done, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, I don't think it's an indication he doesn't buy in. I think that he really likes Tyrod Taylor, and he likes some of the moves that they've made. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns made some of these moves in part to kind of try to entice him
a
little bit to play. But just listening to what he had to say, it sounds like his one knee is really, really bothering him. The guy's made a crazy amount of money.
Yep.
And, you know, even if he does think it sounds good, I think he's probably liked a lot of the things he's heard from, like, the last six coaches and GMs they've had there. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, and I think they have a chance to get to maybe, like, 500 this year. But I think more and more guys that are smart, like Joe, are going to do this. They're going to realize, I've made a bunch of money. You know, I've already done a lot of damage to my body orthopedically. Mm. Is it really worth it? Like, what am I getting out of going out there and doing more damage to my body? And now these guys all have, obviously, the CTE and head concerns.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see more and more guys pull a Tiki,
next year. No, you're right. To your point.
Tiki's a verb today.
You're right. I like that. To your point, Ross, $122 million Joe Thomas made over 11 seasons. So he did quite well for himself.
He's earned every penny. He was awesome.
And you know what? Speaking of, like, you know, a.k.a. pulling a Tiki, which, by the way, Tiki, is the smartest thing he ever did. I mean, why – you want to be athletic. You want to be able to move. You want to be healthy. I don't know how you're feeling now, but I would never criticize a guy that does that. But it's funny talking about the head stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about this or not, but everybody's always talking about the draft and the quarterbacks. I just got to say, I can't believe more people aren't talking about the fact that Josh Rosen had two concussions last year at UCLA. One, that he missed a game, and then the other one, he missed a whole month. Like, I can say this because I went to an Ivy League school. His mom went to Princeton. His dad went to Penn as a renowned spine surgeon. You know, if you draft him in the top five picks, let's say the Jets or the Giants or whoever, you draft him in the top five picks, he gets a minimum of like $24 million fully guaranteed. Let's be logical about this, okay? How many concussions is he going to play through in the NFL? And I'm not suggesting he should.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with his background and the fact that he just had two last year, I mean, he might be one and done. I mean, he might get a concussion and be like, okay, I can get $24 million fully guaranteed in this contract and never play football again, or I can go back out and get another concussion, maybe another one. That's the guy, and I know they say he's the best pure passer and all that stuff. Mm. That's the guy that I would not touch because that concussion risk is too big for me.
It's high.
Wow.
You're right.
That's a strong take. Pretty interesting. Ross Tucker with us here, Sirius XM Radio, NFL analyst, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. The Browns have to take a quarterback. This nonsense, and obviously Carlos Hyde probably changes it anyway, the acquisition or the signing of him. But this notion, Ross, that you know maybe they're enticed to take Barkley at one or maybe trade out of one, nonsense. If you don't want to take Rosen, you better take somebody as quarterback at number one. They have to take a quarterback, right?
You are 1,000% correct. It drives me crazy when anyone suggests otherwise. They're not being logical. And look, I love Saquon Barkley. I live in central Pennsylvania. I've watched every snap the guy's played. I've done a bunch of Penn State media stuff. He might be like the biggest freak athlete I've ever seen for Penn State. It's unbelievable. But first of all, he's not a perfect prospect. If you watch him, he looks to bounce a little bit too much. He looks for the home run a little bit too much rather than just hitting it up in there, no matter how phenomenal he is. But if you're the Browns, you need a quarterback. You passed on Carson Wentz. You passed on Deshaun Watson. And this thought process that, well, they can just get a quarterback at four. Yeah, they can get a quarterback at four,
yep.
But not the quarterback at four. No matter how closely graded they'll have a couple guys together, they know which guy they want the most. They'll know which guy deep down they like the most, and you're not taking the chance of him not being there. They got to take a quarterback number one. I think they could still take a running back high, even though they took Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
But they're not going to take Barkley number one. They're going to take a quarterback. My guess is it's Sam Darnold. That would be my guy without any hesitation whatsoever. And I think that's what the Browns end up doing. But this thought process of get a quarterback later or get a quarterback at four, you don't control what happens at two and three. You can't do that.
Okay, I got to take you back to what you said about Saquon Barkley here, because I don't think Tiki heard it because he was communicating with our producer, Mike. It's very interesting that you say that, because for a guy who's really, and we all love him, get that, but he's basically positioned as Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, and Adrian Peterson rolled into one. Well, then why did he only have three 100-yard games at Penn State? He did. It's not like every single game he had 17 carries for $170 and two touchdowns and seven catches. Like, are we embellishing just a little bit
they had a bad offensive line?
A lot of great stars played for bad offensive lines. They put up better numbers than that. What's the answer to that, Ross?
I would say it's a little bit easier, you know, if you're a quarterback to be able to still put up big numbers than a running back. But your point is well taken. You know, he had too many lost yardage runs. You know, I wonder at times a little bit about his vision. I mean, the way he moves at 233 pounds is crazy. He's got great contact balance. He's really good catching the ball out of the backfield. But if you watch him, you know, they were terrible in short yardage. Terrible. Now, part of that, I don't like their scheme in short yardage. They always run, you know, the inside zone out of the gun, and there's only really two runs out of the gun you can do.
It sucks.
So when teams just hitting every gap and coming, it's a little bit limiting.
You're right.
But my concern about him were there were more times where I thought he should just hit it where the play was supposed to go and get 3 yards or 4 yards or maybe bust through and get more yards. It's like sometimes I wonder, and obviously Kiki can speak to this more than I can. I'm talking from an offensive lineman's perspective. But it looked to me like at times he's so physically gifted that he'd get the ball and he was looking for the 80-yard run rather than just hitting it up in there, where a lot of times – that's how you end up getting the 80-yard run. You bounce off the one dude,
it's true,
and then you're off to the races, off to the house. He did not do that as much as I would have liked to have seen him do it.
Yeah,
that's
no.
why he's not, in my mind, a perfect prospect.
He's a very good one, though, because of all the physical skills that you talk about, Ross. But his line wasn't good. It just, you could tell. And the side saddle thing, which I can't stand, it takes a good runner, a downhill runner who's a great cutback player like him. It takes away half the field. You know what I mean? He can't cut back because it's not there. I know we got to bounce here, Ross, but and I know you do as well. Tell us, where's Ball Cannon? How's it doing, man?
It's doing awesome. Thanks for asking. It's doing really awesome. I was actually outside 40-degree weather with my kids yesterday playing
nice.
With it.
Nice.
I told you guys about it before.
Yeah.
And now I'll just tell everybody else, just go to ballcannon.com. Everybody likes looking at an awesome video. It's the only thing that will get your kids to stop playing video games or get them off their phones. Go to ballcannon.com. Watch the videos. You'll be very happy that you did. It's even better in person, I guarantee it.
That's awesome, Ross. And it really is cool. You told us about this guy probably about 2 years ago. And every time you tell us, I go on the website, like I've never been there before. And every time I go back, I'm like, man, this thing is awesome. You're right. All right, Ross. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. See ya.
Okay. So the first thing that represents even a remotely dissenting opinion on Saquon Barkley, remotely, still giving up for his tantalizing gifts, but an interesting take there from Ross.
Yeah, no, you've heard it before. I remember during a couple of games this season, I can't remember which one. What was the game that they won at the last moment they won? It came back at the end. I can't remember who it was, but I remember thinking that Saquon Barkley just needs to go get the first down. Stop dancing. Too many negative loss yardage. But that's teachable, right? Physically, he can do it. He just wants to be a home run hitter all the time, which is not football, by the way.
Okay. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Quick way to save money, switch to Geico. And go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Update, here's ACK Football at the 40s after Rich.
This week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, sponsored by Geico, I got a chance to talk with David Garibaldi, who is a performance artist who's, through charities, donated over $4 million with his paintings. He's amazing. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Just want to hear for all the fellas. Try to do what their ladies tell them.
Actually, we try to do what our ladies. We try to do the opposite of what our ladies tell us to do. That's usually the game that we play.
But back then, you know, different
whatever
era.
It takes.
Different era. Whatever it takes.
Well, whatever it takes to make it happen. All right, 42 minutes past the hour.
Oh, we're idiots.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Next hour, we're going to squeeze in some hoops here. You see Klay Thompson's thumb? He's going to be out a little bit here.
Yeah.
At least a week, and then reevaluated. Who knows what that means?
They're racking up some injuries, man.
I was going to say.
And it's one thing if this was a month, 2 months ago, but there's, 14 games left?
Just in the NBA season, roughly? Yeah,
something
like that.
14 games left. It's not the right time to be getting banged up. Steph Curry probably got a week or so before he's able to come back. So maybe it's good that they get to chill and rest, but you never want to get rusty, and if it's your thumb, it could affect your shot, which we saw when he struggled a couple years ago. It helped them lose a championship.
No question. We will definitely get into that. Also next hour, Major League Baseball messing around with the idea. They'll use the minor leagues as a laboratory to implement a couple of rules changes. They'll do it at the minors. It's not going to be implemented yet. It's got to be collectively bargained. Oh, actually, he could do it unilaterally. We know that, the commish. But they are messing around, and a lot of people are bothered by this. I would still kind of consider myself a baseball purist, and I actually think it's not that bad. Not that bad of an idea.
Yeah. Oh, we got to debate this.
Oh, we will. We will. Ready for a little football at the 40s?
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's go. Okay, Teak, let's rip through some items here. First, now we touched this at various points throughout the show, but it's certainly worth getting back to.
Yep.
The Browns signed Carlos Hyde. What does it mean for the aforementioned Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I mean, likely, because we talked about this, is with them also having Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde. It feels like the backfield is complete. There's a couple other guys on the roster. And if you have many more needs, like the Browns surely do, you're likely not to use it on a position that you just addressed. This means Saquon will move down in the draft, probably not too far down in the draft.
Ooh, meaning that he could be stepping in the backfield that my partner used to race around in.
That'd be nice.
Tiki's old, old crib, the backfield for the Giants.
That would be nice.
Oof,
Pennsylvania's close. Maybe convert some Eagles fans.
But he can't wear your number. Landon's got that. Yep. Landon's a player.
He is a player.
Now, did Landon ever reach out and say, you okay?
Yeah, we talked.
Did you have to he have to give you anything?
No.
I know it's I know you're in the Ring of Honor, but
you didn't
squeeze something off the young buck?
Not at all.
I'm a chump. Let me handle your business next time. I'll get you some loot, get you some scratch. Although after the way he played last year, he might want to give it back.
Yeah.
Regressed a little bit.
He did. Candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. Should have won it 2 years ago.
No doubt. He was right there.
Last year, they all left something to be desired.
Uh-huh.
The whole secondary was just, they were talking trash about each other.
They weren't showing up for meetings. Remember Rodgers Cromartie? He's gone. They were a mess back there.
They were a complete mess last year.
Eli Apple.
Yeah.
I mean, teammates calling him out. So hopefully they fixed
it. Landon calling him out.
Yeah, it was Landon. True. Okay, there we go. Saquon Barkley. He is a name we'll be hearing a lot before the draft, of course. The Patriots. Now, usually we hear about players that they lose. They lost Deion Lewis. They lost Malcolm Butler. We don't think Gronk retires, but there's a rumor that he might. Soldiers with the Giants, et cetera. But apparently they are targeting A.J. McCarron to play a position that hopefully Patriot fans hope he never plays.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. This is interesting, BT, because A.J. McCarron was thought of as one of the marquee free agents, even though he hasn't played that much. A few games in a relief of Andy Dalton when Andy Dalton was banged up. But we thought that he was going to get an opportunity to be the guy, maybe even with the Browns, the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
But it dried up quickly. Tyrod goes to the Browns, Keenum to the Broncos, Cousins to the Vikings, Bradford to the Cardinals. The Jets get Teddy, and they re-sign Josh McCown. There's only one team, and that's the Bills. The Bills aren't – I don't think they're ready for that. And if that's the guy, I don't know if they see him as their franchise. So why take him now on a big deal when you can just draft one of these guys, move up with the Giants or whoever, and draft somebody? He might be the odd guy out in the quarterback free agent carousel and now has to settle for another backup job.
No, he's got to get reps at some point. He's not a kid,
I hear you. It sucks for him. He really does. Because I can see it in his mind. Like, this is my chance. I won free agency, unrestricted free agency. I had to, fight arbitration, got me out of Cincinnati being a backup. He's got to go right back to being a backup.
I know.
It sucks for him.
You know what? The more I thought about this, I got a little thought here that when they traded for A.J. McCarron, if that was really initiated by Hugh Jackson the way we all think it was, I think that was just Hugh trying to save his behind. Because if he could have gotten him there, showed any growth, now we can sell management.
I hear you.
Hey, I've got my guy. Because when he had the chance, he bypassed A.J. McCarron. He went for Tyrod Taylor.
I know.
When he had actual time to do something.
So it was a smoke screen.
Think about that.
Just smoke screen.
Trying to save his behind. He's no dummy.
He's no dummy. Fault him?
I don't blame him.
I don't either.
The Tennessee Titans. Now, Marcus Mariota took a little bit of a step back. Actually, a little more than a little. He didn't play too well last year. We were all disappointed. And even though they won a playoff game, and they did change coaches, and they remember Malarkey was granted the assurance he'll be back, and then he was fired. So they're doing a lot this offseason. I think Tennessee is going to be poised to make a nice jump. I really do like them. Now they got Deion Lewis to help make Mariota's job easier, and Malcolm Butler short the secondary.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler got a big deal, $30 million guaranteed. It's a $61 million deal over 5 years. And Mike Vrabel, who obviously knows him pretty well, maybe not because they were there together, but I'm sure he has had interactions enough to know him well enough. So he brings him on. Deion Lewis, I think, is the perfect complement to Derrick Henry. They've had when DeMarco Murray was there, they were kind of two of the same guy, even though DeMarco catches the ball extraordinarily well. They have to release him because of cap reasons. They bring in the perfect complement. So for Marcus Mariota, this is a chance for him to have that 1-2 punch that we always talk about. It's not an ideal 1-2 punch because they're very dissimilar, but it is a good 1-2 punch for Marcus Mariota to go around.
He's got to have a big season. He's got to show some palpable
growth. It's time.
Growth.
It's time for him to have a big season. I agree with you.
Okay. All right, the Panthers, as we know, they're up for sale. Looks like Steph Curry and P. Diddy trying to make a move and get Carolina.
This is interesting, man. This is. I mean, there's now one of the guys from Alibaba, the CEO or something.
If it's going to make it go up, buy them.
The only reason this worries me, this is just me being on the outside trying to speculate what the NFL owners and the committees that approve this are thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a disparate group of people. You know what I mean? Mm. It's
so can they all get on the same page?
Well, it just feels random. You know, it's the owner. It's Michael Rubin, who is the owner of Fanatics, who is memorabilia and gear, that kind of stuff. And then it's Steph Curry. Then it's P. Diddy. And then it's this Alibaba, who's on the other side of the world, literally.
But has the cash to back it up.
Serious cash. There's no issue with him. I mean, Michael Rubin is a billionaire a few times over. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he could do it himself. But he wants a diversified minority group. It feels a little bit scattershot. Maybe it works.
Kind of like the Marlins, the way they went down with Jeter?
A little bit, but the Marlins were more like businessmen. You know what I mean? This is an entertainer, a basketball player. Yeah,
a lot of voices in that room.
An e-commerce, mm-hmm. a maniac, executive from China. It's all over the place, man. And maybe it works. Who knows, though?
Well, if this is a foreshadow, Alibaba, symbol BABA.
That's crazy.
Up $4.15 today. So maybe they are hearing something on Wall Street that is going to eventually facilitate a little movement there.
He's selling his shares because he needs to give him Michael Rubin a couple hundred million.
Hey, all I know is my phone is green when I look at that stock, and that's all I care about. There's a lot of red there today.
It's always green.
I'll take that.
And that one, like Facebook, always green.
True. All right, Jordy Nelson. Obviously, we were kind of messing around, having some fun. You know, he's a wide receiver. He'll be with the Pats. But I know he's going to visit the Raiders as well.
Yeah.
That would be great. I mean, boy, Derek Carr and Amari Cooper, who, by the way, had a little bit of a year of regression last season for the Raiders. Any other teams? Listen, Jordy Nelson could pretty much fit anywhere, I guess. Why not Seattle? Maybe. Yeah. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Seattle is certainly one that could happen. You know, there's a thought, going back to the Raiders, that they are going to part ways with Michael Crabtree, whose number isn't that big. He's only making $7 million next year. But it may be time at 30 years old and some of the issues.
But Jordy's 31, though.
I know, but Jordy doesn't have some of those issues. Michael Crabtree had a couple last year that were...
By getting his chain snatched?
Yeah, just emotional things. Who knows? I like Crabtree.
Yeah.
I think he's an asset for Derek Carr.
Uh-huh.
But they may move off from him.
Okay.
I don't think it's the right move in for Jordy. But Jordy's going to land somewhere. And I think, honestly, it'll be the Pats.
Well, Santer, I just said this, the Seattle, I didn't even know that he's actually going to go visit Seattle today.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to visit the Saints. So how about Drew Brees and Jordy Nelson?
Wow.
Oof, Michael Thomas.
Great route
running backs.
Who is the other? I'm forgetting. They have a slew of.
Michael Thomas, the
one. No,
wideout.
The other one. The guy who was hurt. I can't remember his name now. Yeah, Snead.
Snead.
Snead became irrelevant. He had like 30 catches all last season. Maybe not even that many.
Jordy's good enough and flexible enough. Anywhere he goes, he makes him better.
Agreed.
Okay. And how about this? Let me ask you about this because I did an event with him. You know him pretty well. Mo Wilkerson was on my team. He was with all due respect to Mo, he was stealing money last couple of years. As soon as he got paid, he checked out.
Yeah.
If Mo Wilkerson's motivated, he's with the Packers now.
Yay.
I think that's a great move by Green Bay.
He's humbled, man.
He's young too.
He's young and he got humbled. And look,
like the Iron Sheik, I humble you.
His focus was elsewhere last year for whatever reason. There was distractions in his life. Who knows what was going on? But he didn't come to play and didn't represent the Jets well enough for them to justify how much money they were paying him. So they moved on from him. Now it's a matter of what he does with this opportunity. It's a huge one for him as well.
But does his body still look lively?
Yes, it does. It was never about his body to me. It was his motivation. It's like he didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't want to play.
Didn't want to show up.
Nope. All right. News and nuggets flying all over the shelves here. Mike, what happened with Tannehill? What just happened?
So Tannehill, probably seeing the writing on the wall a little bit maybe, he restructured his deal with the Dolphins, getting a big, I think, $15 million signing bonus now and saving the team $11 million in salary cap this year.
So that would probably preclude them from getting rid of him.
Well, they don't. Now there's no urgency.
Now they don't have to.
There's no urgency.
But they would still probably want to move up and draft somebody. Huh, okay. Good stuff. This is really – boy, the NFL needed a couple weeks like this,
huh? Agreed.
Finally about football, not about the other stuff. Steph Curry's banged up, so is Klay Thompson. Warriors, are they vulnerable? Teague and I break it down. Coming up, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.